This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Shirley's trying to communicate.
I've lost my tissue.
I thought you were holding your nose. I thought George had, yeah, for a minute there.
I've lost my tissue, Ian. I've found it now.
See what we did with the communication there? we should introduce Lady Felicity. Lady Felicity Fair Thompson is in the studio. Good afternoon.
Hello, everyone.
And this is your fault. This lunchtime
everything's
social.
Everything's always my fault.
This lunchtime social, because you wanted to talk about communication.
Well, this is communication, isn't it? Radio is communication.
Exactly.
You've just been communicating the weather. We've just had a thing where the tissue had to be found. I mean, it just communication is everything. Everything you can think of.
I'm hoping and praying that Georgia, who did the 4Ps course a few years ago, that was one of the first things that you learned. I don't know whether you remember that, but what is radio? We asked the question, what is radio? Radio is...
Communication. I thought you were going to carry on that sentence.
Well, no, I sort of, you know.
Right, you were sort of throwing it out for me.
I was communicating with you, like you. Yeah. This is your line.
Okay, communication is... No, radio is all about communication.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say then, but it didn't come out.
No.
Communication wasn't too good then.
We got there eventually, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we have been creating a list, which we'll come to in a mo, of the ways that you can communicate. And I just went out there and spoke to you, Lady Felicity, and one of them popped into my head because I thought, well, wow, that must have been the first kind of communication.
Yes.
Dot, 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 dash, dash, dash.
What is really interesting is that I'm working with a writer called Tim Wander, about the very, very first communication between aircraft and ground troops in the First World War at Passchendaele. And a chap called Peter Eckersley invented the idea of being able to talk from the ground to the aeroplane. Or at least he refined it so it could be used. He eventually became the first chief engineer of the BBC.
Oh, wow.
Via the first radio broadcasts in Chelmsford with Marconi. But it's the most fascinating idea that men couldn't talk to each other. If they were flying, they had a huge battery as well as the equipment, and it didn't work. They had to light. Can you imagine flying, being chased by another aircraft? You're flying along, you need to speak to the ground, and the only way you might be able to do that is to light the valve with a match in a thing made of canvas and full of fuel and ammunition. You could blow yourself up just wanting to say hello.
Good grief.
So communication was extraordinary in those days. And Passchendaele, they had great hopes for Passchendaele, that they would be able to fly overhead and see where the troops were moving to. With this air-to-ground connection. The only trouble was it was the wettest month ever in August, and the mud was so deep, it was over 4 feet deep.
Crikey.
And so men, tanks, artillery, everything was sinking into the ground. So it went very wrong, but it wasn't for lack of connection or communication.
What was the first... When we go back, I mean, I don't know how far we go back. I'm guessing the first Morse code would have been the first communication.
Yes, but voices are different. Listen to us. We're talking. We're able to say words, give information quickly, and you tap out numbers and beating on a machine. Interestingly, one of my books, let's go on a bit more thing of mine about communication. One of the books I've written is The Kid on Slapton Beach. And one of the reasons that the Slapton Sands convoy Exercise Tiger, which was rehearsal for D-Day, one of the reasons it went very badly wrong was the wrong code numbers and wrong typos on their communications. And so the ships that were in this practice couldn't communicate between them. They couldn't know that there were German E-boats behind them going to attack them. I mean, it's extraordinary what communication can do. That ruined that entire exercise, because they weren't told that there would be live fire. The ships accompanying that convoy of landing craft with tanks on board, where the men would land from, like it did in D-Day, they weren't told that the two ships accompanying them, one was late and would arrive at the beach late and therefore bombard the beach when they were landing. And they also hadn't got this communication between the ships. So it was communication on every front that made it go wrong.
It's incredible. Well, we were having a conversation with George while you were outside, and I was saying that I go back to when I was George's age, and we had a telephone down the road. So we wanted a communication one. You got one of two things. You write a letter, or you can, phone box, 2p in and make a phone call. And grown up in a world that the communication... There's a list of stuff that's been there for a few years now. And the times that we're talking about, which is only about 70-odd years ago, you think that's the way that we communicated back then. It would blow your mind. You would probably be thinking, how on earth did you cope? How on earth did you not be able to phone and dial in a number or... taking a picture of yourself and sending it to through Snapchat and whatever, and you just think, and that's only 70 years. That's changed dramatically. We've made a list of, well, I have. I don't know about you, but there's a list of about 10 things of the way we communicate then. And back then, all we had was, like you say, somebody lighting something, and could very often result in him blowing himself up, or Morse code. Or you wrote a letter, or a telegram.
Yeah, telegrams. I was just going to say, telegrams. We used to have telegrams when you got married.
Yes.
And when I had my children, I had a telegram.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I don't think anybody's heard about them now, have they?
How does a telegram work, then? Do you remember?
Well, you used to go into the post office, and you used to pay your money and write it down, or they wrote it down, or something like that. And then someone used to deliver it, like a postman.
Right.
I can't remember. I remember having some telegrams when we got married.
Because there would be short messages,
yes,
wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Good luck for today and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think the youngsters
Happy
have heard of telegram. Yes. Yeah.
Has it? I mean, for people that have lived in both those environments, if you like.
Yeah.
I'll ask you first, name Shirley. Is it better now, or would you like to go back to?
Well, I enjoy it now.
Yeah.
I enjoy using Facebook and FaceTime and everything. And we can communicate more with our grandchildren and that. But then we couldn't have done if I had grandchildren then, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I can't explain
what about,
it.
What about you? Would you ever go back to that?
I wouldn't want to go back completely, but I think there are some things that are lost. I think that writing letters is a real shame to have lost. People can't do handwriting anymore because they're so used to using a text or an email.
It's the personal touch. Haven't got any more. That's the thing, isn't it?
Okay. How's your handwriting?
It's pretty good, actually, but the only thing I do, I've got a dreadful thing. If I'm writing a lot, I'll start off, say, in lowercase, and I'll finish off by joined-up writing. It's an awful thing.
Well, I'm kind of the same.
I don't know why, but I can, yeah, because I think going into school as well with Andrew, with the children, because they have to write in lowercase sort of thing, that's why I write...
Okay. Well, look. You've. It's your fault. It's your era. It's changed everything. How is your handwriting? Because this would have affected your handwriting probably more than ours. Mm. So, have you got good handwriting?
My handwriting is quite good. But to be fair, I have to use it in sixth form every day for exams and stuff because we can't type up exams. We still have to handwrite
really
long essays. So,
good.
Yeah, mine still has to be quite good.
Excellent. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people out there. I mean, I must admit, I went through a phase of not writing anything, and all of a sudden, I started writing things again, and I'm thinking, oh, crikey, that's my handwriting. That's how it looks. I've forgotten. Yeah. Do you know what I did? While I was away, I did something for probably the first time I've done in over 30 years.
Yeah.
I sent a postcard.
I knew you were going to say
you
that.
You did. Did
I
you?
I sent a postcard
where is it, Ian?
To my mum.
Oh.
I sent a postcard to my mum from the Vatican.
Wow.
And she hasn't had it yet.
No, you see, you don't have postcards anymore, do you?
No, you don't.
No.
But we thought, I'll do that. I won't do it for everybody, because otherwise I'd be here all blooming day writing the postcards. But
you're the same with Christmas cards, aren't you, Ian?
Yeah, I don't write Christmas cards.
No, when I give him a Christmas card, I have to write a letter in it.
because he complains when he gets a Christmas card just from such and such. So I make sure I write a nice long letter in it to him.
I want some communication.
And he only does next door.
So how it's changed. I mean, it is incredible. But has it made us better people? Has it made us better communicators?
Do we write shorter messages too? Because we use email and text, do we write such short little sentences that we're not capable of writing a long one?
Mm.
And do we leave out verbs and things? Mm. Because is English suffering because of short...
Mm. You know what a verb is, don't you, Ian?
It's a doing word.
It's a doing word.
Oh, yeah. That verb, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what a noun is, don't you?
It's a thing.
Yes, it's a thing, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It's a thing. see, it's also made us lazy.
Yes.
And, you know, those things that we were taught at school that you've just mentioned there, you probably, if you search deep enough in your brain, you get, but you don't use them on a daily basis, but you would have done.
Yes.
Had you used one of these, a pen and paper, because you'd have to. Nowadays, you can open up a phone and you can send a message. You can read the words and it types it out for you.
Yes, and it predicts the most ridiculous words.
Oh, I have some of those sometimes because I think it looks better than what I was going to say.
He sends the most dreadful messages sometimes.
By accident, obviously.
The other thing about text is, of course, you can write a U, just a letter U, meaning you, the person.
Yeah.
And you can do shorthand like that. And it's very confusing if you get somebody who's trying to write a book or something.
Right.
There's something else. There's shorthand as well, isn't there? I don't think people don't do shorthand anymore, they do they?
I wouldn't understand it.
No, my mum was a shorthand typist most of her life, and she knew shorthand.
Very
you
few
know,
people
but
know that now.
I don't think anybody does now, do they?
No.
How do you write your books in, Felicity?
I type them, I'm ashamed to say. Right. But I do type all of the words. I mean, I'm not... and I plan it out before, so I've got, first of all, an outline of what I'm going to write, and then I will enlarge on that, and enlarge on that, and enlarge on that, until I've finally got the finished article.
Does there come a time when you're doing that, when you're thinking, crikey, you're looking back over the ways that we've communicated, and there'll come a time in many years to come where the ways that we used to communicate is probably far more interesting than the way we communicate now.
Books are coming back into fashion rather than the Kindle. Mm. People like to have a book in their hands. It's much more fun to curl up on the couch with a book than it is to curl up with a Kindle, particularly because you can't go back a few pages and just pick up where you were or anything like that. It just keeps you at the same page you were. And what if you've just forgot what has just happened and you want to pick it up again?
Well, you see, I listen to audiobooks.
Well, there you go. They're very popular.
I'm totally the opposite. But it's another way. You think yourself, if you go back 30 years and you think, right, okay, you read your books, you turn your page, you have to get comfortable. Someone in there, you have to turn the page again, and then, I'm a bit uncomfortable this side, so I have to move. And then the page is on the other side, and you think, well, it's better if
heavens.
I hold it in this. It's a real pain for me. But listening
You've never
to
been really engaged with a book.
Well, I am, but in the Audible book, I love audiobooks, especially autobiography. I've got loads and loads, and I could sit there for hours and hours and hours. But that's the change over the years. That communication of reading a book and listening to a book, that's kind of changed things.
Mm. But you're working in radio, and that is exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's why you like it, probably.
Yeah.
It's because it's exactly what you do yourself.
No, it's because I'm lazy.
No.
And I get uncomfortable.
Oh, you work really hard. Come on.
I do work really hard. You're absolutely right. But I just love to lay in the sun and listen to a book.
Yes.
Rather than
very lovely, lazy way to do it. And it is handy to be able to. Audiobooks are really coming back in fashion, actually.
When was the first audiobook then, do you think?
Oh, well, a long time back, because the BBC's been doing them for years.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually have it in your own hand, 30 years probably.
Yeah.
But in the last 10, more interest. And in the last 2, more interest.
Yeah, I think for blind people, they've done
wonderful.
Them for a long time, haven't they?
They have. Mm. They have. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Mm.
Because sound is so important.
Mm.
If you think of anything you go to, communication, if you're watching a film, you're not only looking at it, you're listening to what's said, and you're looking, you're listening to the soundtrack as well. And that's all communication. Mm. The expression on people's faces, body language. Communication spans such a wide area.
Are we better now, do you think, or were
no,
we better?
No, I think we're less good at it because we do too many emails and too many texts and too much iPhoning. Because although you see it on a phone, it's a put-on face. So it's not necessarily the real reaction. You don't get to talk up close to them. I mean, could you say over a phone, I love you, and really get a proper response?
I do that all the time.
Yeah, but when you're doing the initial, I love you.
Yeah.
It's not the same at all. And if, or I hate you, or I'm going to kill you. All these things have particular...
I've never
particular
said that before. I'm thinking about it.
They're particular things, and they are all about communication. Communication spans such a wide area. And it is about what the eyes do, what the person says. They might take a step back. They might fall over in shock. You know, there are just so many reactions to things. It's and... If you want to have an argument, the argument goes... nobody wants to have an argument, but you know what I mean. If the argument is going to be real, you need to see how the other person reacts to what you say.
Mm. So how do you... Because what you've just said, I totally get. Being in the same room as somebody up close, you see the reaction when they... So when you write a book... How do you get over the fact that you don't actually see the people react to the words that you're writing?
You have to have it on the page. You have to have it on the page. Well, if two people are having a conversation, you have to see them turn away or look away or raise an eyebrow or sigh or... There's a million things, just a faint smile.
But the one thing that you don't see is somebody reacting to your words.
No, I don't, but I get a letter saying, I really loved your book.
Right, okay.
That's nice.
Yeah, I can imagine. But that's, you know, because I say...
Well, and that's a letter, isn't it? It's communication.
Handwritten.
Yeah, or a phone call.
None of your old typed out rubbish. No. It's a handwritten letter. Yeah. When was the last time you received a handwritten letter?
I received one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. They're all emails, our family, that are on the mainland, that we don't write letters anymore. They send emails.
When was the last time you wrote one?
I can't remember, Ian.
I'm the same. My postcard last week was
probably... Have you, Georgia? Have you written a letter?
I get them off my auntie a lot, because she lives up north, and she thinks it's more personal to write me a letter, so I reply with a letter.
Good.
So I do still do that with my auntie, just because... She likes to, and also she always compliments how better my handwriting gets every time I send a letter. So she likes to see how that's progressing as well. So sometimes. Yeah.
Years ago, we'd have all known how good or bad our handwriting was, and now we don't, because we don't see it. We get a text or we get an email. Incidentally, I'm just going to ask you this question: how long do you reckon the email's been going?
Oh God, I don't know. Maybe. 20 years? No, longer than that.
How long do you think, Dame Shirley?
I've got no idea, Ian.
When was the first email you sent?
Oh, golly. When I first had my first computer, my iPad.
Okay, so what are we looking, 10, 15 years? Yeah. 10 years?
Probably about 10 years, 12. I should think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I worked at a radio station, not too far from here, we've already mentioned them.
Yeah.
And they had email and website sorted out in about 1993, 94. Okay, so we're talking 23, 24 years. But the first email, I believe, would have been way back in the 1960s. So you think we've had email for so long, and you think, why do you think that the email came out, and I think it was used by armed forces, I'm not 100% sure, but it definitely came out late 60s, 1970 at the latest, but I'm pretty sure it was 60s. How come it took so long to catch on?
Because people didn't have computers in their homes, I don't think.
No, they didn't know.
But even
for ages for that to happen.
Even in 19, my little cousin Andrew, he had a computer. It was a Mac. It was one of the original Mac, Apple Mac things.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And he had it in 1984, and he never had an email address.
Well, we when I run the preschool that I did, we had computers brought in then for the 3-year-olds to go on.
Yeah.
But I don't think we had emails on there.
But it's just,
you know, it's,
honestly, it's the invention of the internet. But it must have been been there for somebody to send the first email, which, you know, I find, okay, if you look at when it all kicked off big time, mid-90s, late 1990s, everyone got you know, internet, email crazy, and so on, long before Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all those things.
That's all covered,
but you think there's at least 25 odd years before the first one, and then it cottoned on, oh, hang on, email's the way to go. There's a long time there, whereas if you look at the last X amount of years, it's gone absolutely crazy. You know, email, you can, there's, everything's changing. Send photos, send videos, you know, all of these things. Yeah. And that's in a very much, that's a shorter space of time. Yeah. Do you want to take a call?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, who's this?
Good afternoon, Geezer.
It sounds like me old mate, Uncle Arthur.
How about that, eh? Look, there used to, there was a thing going on back in the 1980s, used to be stickers as well. It said, it used to say from Royal Mail, somebody somewhere wants a letter from you.
I remember
that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I once saw that sticker stuck on the side of a machine in a gent's toilets.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But the thing is, right, the only letters that I get sent these days that aren't either rude or final demands are from old aunts. You know?
Yeah.
People don't write, and that's the trouble with it. People, I think it's coming to the point where people have forgotten how to write.
Mm. Yes.
You know?
Do you write letters, Arthur?
No. I do send letters, but they're normally typed.
Yes, yeah.
Because nobody can ever read my writing anyway.
My 6-year-old granddaughter writes me letters. She's just about doing it now.
Yeah. But
when I write back to her, I write in lowercase.
But I don't even know if they teach writing in schools much these days.
Yeah, they do, Arthur.
And do they?
As Felicity just said, it's all lowercase. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I heard you say earlier, you start writing a letter in one, and I start writing in one, and I end up in capitals because
I
get fed up with doing it.
I know. This is what I'm like.
But that's because I have great difficulty in holding the pen. I mean, my old teacher always said to me that it looked like a spider had walked through the ink and then gone across the paper when I'd written something. And I even got written once on a paper, this probably is a great piece of work, if only we could read it. You know? But that's a fact of life. I mean, I've never been very good at handwriting.
You see, surprised me, Georgia, when she said that she has to write all her essays and things down. I thought you would have done it on a computer.
The answer is there, Shirley, if you do things on a computer these days, it flags up immediately the bad spelling.
Yeah, it's good. Correct your spelling, yeah.
You see, so if you're writing it, you've got to correct it yourself.
Good plan.
Yes, you're right, yes.
You see, which I think is a real, real problem in this country at the moment, is the poor spelling.
I'll say. I'm dreadful at spelling. My spelling is really bad.
But it's not just that, Shirley. The reliance on the electronic device for spelling, all it's giving you is the American spelling.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And they don't necessarily, a spell checker won't necessarily give you the right thing at all.
I saw an argument on one of them internet things the other day about somebody trying to say, well, aluminium is actually spelt and pronounced aluminum.
Yes.
And that's how it should be. And I thought, hang on a minute, there's two I's in aluminium. You know? How can it be aluminium? How could aluminium be aluminum? And the one that gets me probably most is the colour grey.
Mm.
Where has the A come from in the colour grey?
Should be E.
It's E.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's E, isn't
it? You put it in, and half the time it flags it up as a spelling mistake.
Mm. But spell checkers are like that. Yeah. They want to flag up what they think
American.
They know.
They're based on an American theory, principle, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it flags these things up, and it can half annoy me as well. Colour. COLOR.
That's colour. Right. It doesn't put
the
U in, does it? Like neighbours,
so
don't put a U in.
Grey.
Yeah.
I've just typed it.
It comes out as
EY.
Yeah.
You see, but this is the trouble with it, and of course, you've got to think about, not only have you got to think about the kids entering school these days, you've got to think about the people that have come into this country that don't have English as their first language.
Yes.
How on earth are you meant to get over to them what words are, how to spell them right, if we can't do it ourselves?
But they do say English is the hardest language to learn, don't they?
Really?
Not the Mandarin, yeah.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of variety in it. There's huge numbers of words, and it also does change over the centuries.
Yeah.
Well, you're a bit of a wordsmith, aren't you? Let's be honest, because you write
allegedly.
Books. And I think how confusing is our language sometimes when you think you've got words like mortgage. No one uses that T, so why put it there?
Latin. That's from Latin.
There you are.
That is.
But that's not English then, is it?
Well, no, but our language is made up of Latin, French, German, and a bit of Scandinavian as well, with a bit of Celtic chucked in for good measure.
Well, we ought to go back to basics, didn't we?
Well, my old teacher at school, when I started senior school, he said, if you can grasp Latin, you'll be conversant with most of the important European languages.
All right.
And mortgage, without the T, might mean anything else. It might mean more of a gauge of life. I mean,
it's after death.
Yes, well, there you go. Well, we all pay our mortgage off after death.
Well, that's right. It's basically a death tax, isn't it? But that's what it is. It's a measurement of... It means you've got it till you die. That's really what the true translation of mortgage means. And in some of us, it might be a bit longer than that.
What it is wonderful that you are able to converse exactly on this subject, about the language. And the language is such a central point of conversation and of communication. It's brilliant.
Yes.
Do you know what, though? You mentioned youngsters and so on, and you think, when you wind this all on 50-odd years, and, you know, people are struggling with spelling and so on, it's going to get far worse in 50-odd years' time, because, you know, we're becoming, sadly, you know, with the exception of you, George, who seems to be like Miss Goody Two-Shoes, writing everything out, there's probably more youngsters that don't write things out because they've got the phones to do everything for them and so on. Like, we used to be able to remember telephone numbers, but now we don't have to, and we've become lazy. So you roll that on, in another 30-odd years, everyone will be talking a completely different language, won't they? Because they will be, you know, not spelling things correctly. They will be saying things that you think, oh, hang on, what are you talking about? They'll understand each other because they come from the same sort of period of time. Yeah. But people
will they be saying it? Will they have the requirement to actually speak to anybody?
Indeed. And that is such an important thing. Conversation. If you don't speak, you don't keep the practice up. You lose it. I have an elderly sister in Australia, and I ring her up, and we speak for about an hour and a half every week. But I always notice that at the beginning of the conversation, her voice is a bit stilted. She's less capable of thinking what she's going to say. I mean, this is not derogatory. She's a perfectly sensible woman, but she. At the beginning of the conversation, she's never as good as by the time we've been talking for half an hour. And by the time we get off the phone, she's full on and able to think everything straight and clearly, and think what she's going to say and what she wants to do. That conversation level is important to practice. We must have hundreds, thousands of older people who never particularly speak to anybody because they're living in old people's homes or on their own. Mm-hmm. And the carers come in and say, hello, dear, how are you? But the conversation isn't for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing of sitting, watching television or listening to the radio isn't talking. It's not using your own brain.
There's no conversation, is there? It dulls the mind.
Mm.
I sometimes think that what is needed in a lot of these old people's homes is for somebody to go in there and just stand there and talk to them.
Yes.
So that they can all talk back.
Yes.
And then you get a conversation going. You'd be surprised at what you'll get out of a person who allegedly has got Alzheimer's if you ask the right questions.
Mm. I think young people should be going in and talking to them, actually.
They wouldn't know how to talk to them, would they?
Well, they ought to practice. I think it's important. They'll be old one day themselves. They've got to learn how to cope with the world.
And if they see and talk and listen to what old people have to offer, they could actually learn a lot. I also think that kindergartens, little children's things, ought to be held in old people's homes. I think there's always a central room in those big places where they could have a nursery. It would be good use of property.
In an old person's home.
Hmm?
I would have a concern about young children being in an old person's
home. Well,
home.
With the ordinary nursery staff, it's a room. It's not about the old people looking after them. It's using the accommodation in a sensible way. Why hire a hall when you could actually use an old people's home, and the old people would have connection with those children and the children with the old people?
Some would.
I could think of a few old people like my old aunt
that died that would have run a mile from a room full of children.
Well, there you are. It might have been good for her to run the mile.
Yeah, well, it would have been very good for me if she'd have run a mile. She might not come back. You know? But next time you speak to your relation in Australia, ask her what she's got in her pocket.
Yeah, all right, I will.
I bet it won't be a bit of yellow tape.
No, it won't. All that's right. Cricket for you.
Right. I'm going to go and eat my sarnie. All right?
Yes. Yeah, go and enjoy your lunch.
I'm going to eat my sarnie and I won't throw the phone down.
Oh. Thanks for your call, Arthur.
All right, you take care.
Cheers. You too. Bye. Cheers. Interesting, fascinating, isn't it? How different we are. You want to ask Georgia a question?
I want to ask Georgia. When you're talking to your friends, do you talk on Facebook or do you get together and talk?
It's rare that we actually do all meet up just to spend time with each other, really. And especially at school, like, a lot of the time we're all sat around a table and everyone is just on their phones, not actually speaking to each other. But, we have actually started to notice that, and we've started to just put our phones away and actually talk to each other. But pretty much everybody does it now at 6:00.
I know. You go to a restaurant and you see people out to dinner together and they're all on their mobile phones. Why did they bother to go to dinner?
It's really sad, isn't it?
It is very sad.
You see a whole family, so many in recent times, a whole family sat around the table, they're all on their phones.
Yeah. And they get into bed and say goodnight to each other by phone.
Text.
I must admit, the other week I sat there, the grandchildren were there, they were on their phones, and I thought, crikey, I'm doing the same. Yeah. I was on my phone. So I said to them, come on, let's all put them away, you know, and when they come in now, I tell them to put them away, but I have to use mine as well. So.
But talking is so vital.
Yes.
I'm saying about my elderly sister, but do you think of teenagers? They need to discuss what life is about. Mm. They need to think, what about my boyfriend? Or what's your mother like? Or we're going on holiday. Where are you going? Or I'm afraid to go and do this particular thing. Or you shouldn't be afraid to go and do it. Talking is so vital. It's much, much more important than being on a phone.
I think a problem is as well, a lot of people talk about their problems via text and things like that rather than face-to-face now. So I know a lot of people where they've messaged me with a problem and I've spoke to them about it, but then in real life, if I try and bring it up, they feel a bit awkward to talk to me face-to-face.
But you ought to try and get over that awkwardness.
Yeah. I personally do, but a lot of people don't.
Do you know that it's apparently true that if you talk only via your mobile, this applies to children from very young through to late teenage, that if you are doing that all the time, you have more chance of depression.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And more chance of being bullied. Mm. And a lack of feeling as if you've got friends.
Mm. You mentioned your sister having a conversation at the beginning. She's a bit sort of, I don't know, I'd use the term grumpy maybe, and then at the end of it, she's happy-go-lucky.
That's probably brightened
her day up, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it has brightened her day up. But it's not about grumpy. It's about the practice of using the words. She's slower in how she thinks about her words at the beginning.
Right.
And then she kind of winds up. It's practice.
Okay. Recently, and this is where we're going, and I think it's a very... I hope this doesn't catch on, because I don't think it's very good. You don't need to go and see the doctor anymore.
Oh. Mm.
You just phone them, or they phone you, and they tell you what's wrong with you.
Once upon a time, you went into a doctor's surgery, and they looked at you. Now they look at their computer. They looked at you, and they looked into your eyes. Mm. They took your blood pressure. They they might feel your pulse. The communication of that gave the doctor a lot of insight into how well or ill you were. Much, much more so. How can you possibly tell at the other end of a computer?
How sad is it that even doctors are not communicating like they used to?
Mm.
And I know we have a lot of problems with the NHS, and I don't want to, you know, knock the NHS, because I think the people doing the work are really at the sharp end at the moment, and it's the faceless men in suits, as they say, that are causing all the issues. But when you've got doctors, you know, proper doctors doing diagnosis over the phone, that's just not a good sign, is it? And that's where we're going. You think that's so do you think it's too late? Genie's out of the bottle. How can we remedy it?
What do you think, Georgia?
I think it is too late at this point, because everybody's got so used to doing everything on the phone that they'd really struggle. So if I, like I said earlier, when I have like days where I don't go on my phone, first couple of hours when I've turned my phone off, I do feel like this sort of uneasy.
I feel like
I don't have something.
I could cure you all.
Yeah.
Okay, and seriously, I could cure you all. Cut the electric off.
Yes.
Turn the electric off for a week, and then you'd have to communicate. Yes. That's the cure.
Yeah, I wait try.
For it. Just... Wait for it. Well, that might be just what Russia does.
Well, you don't know.
I think hacking is one of the real troubles of the world, because we rely so much on computers.
I've got this theory. Maybe there's a book here. I'll let you write it, though, because I've got this theory that I think that we're being fed all these phones, all this technology, all these iPads, computers and so on. We become totally dependent on them, which we are. Mm. Not just as people, but hospitals, army, everything is dependent. And at some point, someone's going to pull the rug. Whether it's, you know, they shoot out all the Wi-Fi things, or they turn off the electric. Mm. It's going to happen at some point, and that is just that. And snow freaks us out. But you just imagine, you turn off the electric, you've got no electric for a week. Your phone dies after 48 hours.
No heating.
No computer.
No cooking. No heating. No computer. No phone. No transport if you're on an electric
equals
train line.
Communication, because you'd have to.
Mm.
You'd have to talk to people. You would have to communicate.
Mm.
And hopefully, you know, I say hopefully it will never happen. In some ways, I'm wishing and hoping that it does, just to show people where we're going, and it's not such a good place. Mm. Don't get me wrong, I love technology. The fact that you can do something on your phone and click, 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 and it appears on your desktop at home. How wonderful is that? To be able to speak to your dad in Manchester and see him as well. What a wonderful thing that is.
But when you think, when we were children growing up, we didn't have a television. No. Which makes a lot of difference. We used to sit and talk and play cards and do things together. Because there was no TV, there wasn't much on the radio, you know, and that's communication, I think, when we were younger.
Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to communicate some more after a quick break. We will be back. And if you do want to give us a call, you can. 240-666.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.
Look out for Origins Theatre for 2018. We've got exciting plans to entertain you with our amazing new version of King Lear, our sell-out performance of the Dickens ghost story The Signalman, and the world premiere of our latest play, IB. It's live theatre like you've never experienced it before. We've earned a reputation for quality and originality, and we're proud to be based right here on the Isle of Wight. So make it your resolution to enjoy theatre the Origins way this year. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and check us out at originstheatre.uk.
Livewire Electric Shop, for all your domestic appliance needs. Appliance sales, repairs, spare parts and TVs. There are 5 and 7 year warranties available on selected brands. Find us in Orchard Street, Newport, or call us on 01983 522 420. Livewire, your one-stop appliance shop.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. In 2013, Vectis Radio set up the 4 P's Radio School, designed to train young people aged 11 to 19 in 4 crucial areas of radio: presenting, production, promotion and podcasting, hence the 4 P's. The course is also available to people with additional needs, up to the age of 25, helping young people gain confidence and skills that will help them as they move forward in life. To find out more, visit www.4ps.org.uk. This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Devoted to the Isle of Wight, this is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Here we are then, welcome back, part two. We've got Dame Shirley in the studio, we've got George, and we've also got Lady Felicity as well, and we're talking, well, we're communicating, and we were communicating during the course of the break. I don't know whether you remember Smashy and Nicey. Do you remember Smashy and Nicey? There was a TV programme, and there was these two radio celebs, and Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse, and they took off Smashy and Nicey. Hello, Smashy, me old mate. And they would be all like this during their live, when they were live and so on. And then when the mics came down, they wouldn't talk to each other. But we weren't like that, were we? We were having a chat. Yeah, but I say, it's coming down to communication.
Yeah. One more point on the doctor idea. There's the doctor diagnosing over the phone. But the other side of it is, if you can't talk properly, if you can't think what you want to say, then how do you explain how you feel?
Exactly.
So it's two-sided.
I think that's a dreadful idea over the phone, because usually the doctor can tell, look in your eyes, and they can tell you more or less how you're feeling or whatever. Yeah. I think that's dreadful doing it over the phone. Yeah.
But think about how, just for young people, getting a job. Communication really matters. If you don't learn, if you don't put your phones down and talk to your friends, you won't learn how to go into an interview and present yourself. What about if you were going to go and work in advertising? Advertising is all about communication.
Yeah.
If you're managing a company, you've got to be able to make your employees know what you expect from them and how to keep them happy, and the kind of, if you can talk to them occasionally, as you know, when it's not to do with business, and have a conversation with them, your relationship all the way around with your company will be better. If you've got a telephone job, you're talking over the phone. You're not just working from a script, because anybody will interrupt your script and ask you a crazy question, and then you've got to think, where was I on the script?
Yeah.
You can hear it every time you get one of those scripted phone calls. Teaching. What about teaching? If you're not able to talk, how do you teach?
Well, Dame Shirley's son, Andy, he's a teacher.
Mm.
And he's very good at communicating, isn't he? He is very good.
Yeah, he is good. And they listen to him, you know what I mean? He can get the children in the palm of his hand and they'll all sit and they're amazed, because he engages with the children.
Do you know what? It's funny you say that. One of the things that I used to like most of all is, when I was a young kid, is sat in assembly, cross-legged, listening to those old Bible stories. Okay, I'm not very religious. And my wife recently, she celebrated her 50th birthday, and we went to Rome. She wanted to go to Rome, and I'll be honest with you, I was absolutely dreading it, because I'm not a culture vulture. Mm. I'm not really big on history. And we got on this this coach to Pompeii, and this guy, this funny little guy with a weaselly little beard, was our guide. And he started talking and telling stories in a way that was... And I was transferred back to age 7, sat on the floor, legs crossed, listening to these wonderful, wonderful stories.
Mm.
And the communication was superb. Mm. And I must admit, I'm a fairly good communicator myself, but this guy was off the scale. He was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He knew exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and he had a bus full of people talking about a load of old rocks, because that's what Pompeii is now, unfortunately. But he had us in the palm of his hand, because he was telling this story in a way that was interesting. And it was absolutely fascinating. And I afterwards, you know, went to talk, and he was just the same. It's not a show, it's not an act, that's just the way he is. He's a great communicator. And you think, okay, so you meet somebody like that who's absolutely awesome. The other 58 people on the bus weren't quite so. Yeah, they were engaged with, but you talked to them and it was, and didn't really want to have a conversation with you. So it is, unfortunately, it's these things that have been put in place have made us less communicative. And I don't think it's going to get any better unless we turn the electric off for 7 days and cure you.
That would be a good idea.
I think
it would be a shock cure for a lot of people.
Should we campaign for a weekend. Let's do a weekend, first of all, where they turn
all,
off...
All of Newport.
Yeah.
Where do you live, Felicity?
I live in Sandown.
Oh, well, I've Sandown as well, then.
Sandown,
Sandown, you know, and Newport. Yeah, the Isle of Wight.
I'm also... I mean,
the Isle of Wight lead the country.
Yes.
Well, I've always said that. We never do this. And I say, it's all very well have an Isle of Wight day. Don't get me wrong, I think it's a lovely day. We'll be promoting the Isle of Wight. But, hey, let's have a communication day. A communication day means turn off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
The electric you can't do because of, obviously, you can't do that in a hospital.
No.
And you probably wouldn't be able to do it in a hospital with the Wi-Fi as well. But
on the other hand, the doctor might get on the phone and cure it.
Yes. But the phone will be off.
The chances of that are pretty remote, aren't they?
The chances of speaking to a doctor is pretty remote.
But a communication, a proper communication day. Turn your phones off, your computers off, internet, everything.
Wouldn't that be good?
For 48 hours, for a weekend, whole weekend.
Can I ask him, when you went on holiday, did you take your phone?
I did.
Yeah.
And I used it as a camera.
Yeah, you see, we're going away soon, and I shall use mine only as a camera.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to,
you know.
I switched my phone to airplane mode.
Yeah.
You don't receive texts, you don't receive messages, you can't use your internet. I used my phone as a camera.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it was great.
Yeah.
4 years ago, I went to Corfu for 2 weeks, switched it off, didn't even use it as a phone then, and best 2 weeks of my life.
And you don't get the news. There's another form of communication. And the news is always such doom and gloom now.
Yes.
Everybody analyses everything. And,
yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's so much opinion on the news these days, that including us, if I might say.
Yeah.
One can't call the pot black. The thing about it is that it's so down these days, and so it's almost worth turning it off to keep your day nice.
I think it's a control thing on the TV. They control your mind. They want you to, and so on and so forth. And I sometimes very often switch off. I just want to ask you a question, Georgia. Having said, look, we're going to have 48 hours where we switch off the internet. Would you be okay with that? Would you be able to deal with it?
Well, I'd be at work, so I wouldn't be able to do my job, so I would cope with that, yeah.
Isn't it daft how you wouldn't be able to do your job, but 30 years ago, they did their job without internet?
Yeah, it's because our tills and everything are all electronic. And
yes. Well, that's another thing.
Leave the electric on.
Yeah.
I mean, old Arkwright, in open all hours, he never had an electric till, did he?
No.
But leave the tills on, switch off the internet. Mm. I suppose they're all integrated, aren't they?
Am I still allowed to text people or...?
No.
Not allowed phones at all.
We've got to live like in the olden days.
Right,
where
so
there was
to
nothing.
People.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to communicate. You've got to talk.
Yeah, I think I do okay.
And you might have to go down to a post box or a phone box and phone your dad.
Yeah, I think I'd be
okay,
all right.
We'd allow that. Yeah. We'd allow a phone call.
Could you give the right change out if somebody bought something from you?
Would you find a phone box?
Yeah.
There are a few out there.
Yeah, I don't even know where the nearest one
many.
Is to me, no.
There's not many, but I mean, there'd be a queue for them as well.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there?
Oh.
But I obviously, what we've got is lovely. It's you know, it's in your pocket. You can do this and look it up. It's so simple, but it's having such a damaging effect.
Yeah.
And sometimes, to highlight just how we've become so inward in some ways... Switch it off and have a little look and see how you cope with it, because one day it will come anyway. Because at some point, I was saying about this, when you go and have a look at a load of old ruins and you think, okay, they probably thought what they had was exceptional, and it probably was, but then it only lasts for X amount of time. At some point, something will happen and mobile phones disappear, computers will disappear, everything will be totally different. How are you going to cope? How are you going to cope? There'll be people going out there that if just say, for instance, you switched it off, it'll go into meltdown.
Yeah.
When I was in Corfu, after day 10, there was a young lady and her mum. They flew in the night before, and they came down to the breakfast table the next morning, and they were on the table next to us. And the girl, probably about 13 years old, she got her phone, looked at it, and then threw it down on the table. And said, go your signal. And threw it down, and I thought... And I said to the wife, I've been here for 10 days, no stress whatsoever, I'm stressed now, come on, we got to go, let's go. I've only finished half my breakfast, I don't care, I'm going, I can't be around this kid that's, got all this beauty and warmth around her, and she's on, you know, she's moaning and groaning because she can't get a signal on her phone.
That's another thing, is that people, instead of looking at what they're looking at, they're looking it up on the phone.
Yeah.
I've seen that so many times. Mm. And but you think, but enjoy it. It's listen to the Mockingbird thing that they used to say once upon a time, that instead of trying to film it or record it, watch it, listen to it, experience it yourself. Remember it. You've got a brain that has a million filing cabinets. Your remembering of that moment will stand you in good stead till you die.
Do you know
what? A camera will get lost.
You must feel really kind of upset, angry. Well, you tell us when you know that, you know, in those days, if we wanted to know anything, we went to a library and looked it up, mm-hmm. and they're closing libraries. Mm. And you think, how sad is that? Okay, because we can check it out on Google, because that's always right.
Mm.
And you think, well, you love books, you write books.
Yes.
How do you feel about the fact that this knowledge, this fountain of knowledge that we've got, and another way of communicating, is being shut down?
Oh, it's terrible. I don't believe libraries should be shut down, because, again, they're a form of communication, apart from the fact of being able to go in and look at the book, read the book. They provide moments for children to hear stories on Saturday mornings. A lot of libraries do that. They provide people's opportunity to sit together, even if they're not talking to each other, even if somebody else says shh at them. It's the fact that you're area.
I'd be making a noise, and I'd be talking.
But you're in an area where other people want to go, and it's a form of communication, even though in that case you may not be talking, but you're reading something together, and that is an alliance. It's not necessarily communication like the sort of communication we understand, but it is still allying yourself with another person who is interested in the same thing. And we forget that if we look at our phones all the time.
On the way home from our little trip, we were watching Porridge. And we both, because if you watch it on an iPad, you can't. If you're on a bus or you're on a coach or something, you can't watch it and have the speakers blaring. So you've got to have headphones on. And we haven't got a facility where you can put two lots of headphones in. So we shared one. So I had one ear. The wife had one ear. And this couple, be honest, we must have looked like a really romantic couple. When you look around at everyone else, they've got their separate contraptions. They're listening to their own things, and you think, and there's us.
How sweet.
Somebody actually said that. How I've been watching over your shoulder, been watching Porridge, been itching to sort of have one and be able to hear what was going on, but I noticed that you're actually listening together. Mm. You must be a very happy couple.
It's sort of about the same thing that I meant about the library. It's sharing.
Mm.
It's a kind of sharing of listening and watching and reading or whatever. It's a communication in itself.
Hey, look, we're almost running out of time.
Oh.
Is there anything else? Because you can come back and do it, because it's such a big... It's just a big topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything else? You got about 2 minutes.
Well, I've got a list of things here. Speak, converse, argue, explain.
Oh, wow.
On
there's
one
a lot
side.
There. Yeah.
Listen, absorb, digest, react, discuss on the other side. I mean, or if we did all those things... You imagine just young people going for a job, being able to talk... If you're going to work in a shop or some kind of counter, you need to be able to talk to the customer. How many shops do you go in lately where people can't actually say anything much to you?
Yeah.
Have you got a card? Have you got a shop card? It's about the most they say.
But, do you want cash back?
Yes. They don't have a conversation. But more to the point, there's nobody in the shop helping you.
No.
Do you think
one of my biggest bugbears is, especially when it comes down to communication, you look at the world we live in now and you look at the problems that we've got and the arguments that are going on with world leaders, and you think, right, all you need to do is get in a room, all of you, sit down, communicate,
talk. Did you see that the other day in those Brexit talks, the fact that they all had dinner together mattered so much the next day when they were giving their... decisions on things. They'd all had dinner together. Made a difference.
I'm sure if certain people in the past have had dinner and sat down and actually communicated, there wouldn't be half the wars that we've had. We could have rewritten a bit of history, I think.
But talking about going in shops as well, you're not in the supermarkets now. You serve yourself, don't you? Mm. You know, you put your food on there, and the computer does it. And,
And then what happens? You put some beer down there, and that means a human has to come out and say, oh, yeah, you're over 18, that's okay then.
I wondered what they did about that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if you bought a bottle of spirits, like we occasionally do, especially at the weekend, they got to take a plastic cap off of it. So
really?
A human has to come out and do that. So what's the point
of
that?
Yeah, they always go wrong, aren't they? The humans are always having to leave your bag there or take your bag off and you get confused, don't we? But
we do. Hey, look, we've got to go. We've got to make way for James and Judith.
Wonderful
Thank
communication
you.
This morning.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For
Will you come back? Will you come back and do some more?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Felicity. Thank you, Georgia. And thank you, Dame Shirley. Enjoy the rest of your day. James and Judith are on the way there. Next.